You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hate shopping for pants? You're not alone. Jack Archer's Jet Setter Tech Pants are basically the answer to every guy's closet struggles. With their customizable fit, wrinkle-free fabric sourced from Japan, and all-day comfort, these pants can take you from work to weekend without missing a beat. Seriously, these might be the only pants you'll ever need. Style them with the Jet Setter Tee, Legacy button-down shirt, or the buttery Legacy Polo sweater, and you've got timeless staples to meet your everyday wardrobe needs. Jack Archer is just better. For a limited time, get 15% off using the code GETJACK at jackarcher.com. Again, that's promo code GETJACK at jackarcher.com for 15% off your entire order.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop, assemble, and bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Welcome to Pod Maverick After Dark. I'm Kirk Henderson, joined by Josh Bow, coming to you after the Dallas Mavericks played the Utah Jazz here on Thursday night. The Mavericks lost 116-114, and Anthony Davis got hurt. How are you, Josh?
I'm good. I'm tired. Like, I'm mental. Like, I can already tell this is going to be some effing podcast, and the Mavs keep playing games. Like, I'm gonna, this is like a peel behind the curtain, and this is like, you can, if the internet wants to clip me and make fun of me for this, go right ahead, because this is like a whiny baby comment. Like, these clutch games, I am sick of these clutch games, man.
I mean, 29 for those of you at home.
Can we get a blowout where I can kind of like turn my brain off in the third quarter and not have to pay so close attention at every play? Like, I'm just tired of like every game. I'm like, and again, I'm not like living and dying by the result. It's more just like when these games are so intense and so competitive, I have to pay, like, you know, can't take a possession off when if you miss it, it might be a possession that changes the flow of the game. And again, I'm not saying I want them to lose by, like, can they win by 20? Can they, you know, I'll take that. Like, I just, these clutch games, man, they're just, and I don't know how the players are holding up, because like, if I was a player and every game was like this, I mean, there's gotta be a point where I'm just like, all right, man, F it. Like, kudos to them for still playing hard, but like, holy crap, these clutch games, man. Like, I don't know how many more I could take. That's so, my whiny baby take of the night.
No, you're allowed. You're allowed, because it also comes with the fact that you and I had our children at home for 17 straight days. We both love being parents. It's exhausting while doing our day jobs plus Mav stuff plus holidays, only to come back to a West Coast trip with a game that started at 10:30. That Tuesday game so thoroughly kicked the shit out of me.
Me too.
My boss went out of town today, and I was like, thank God. I can't, like, my brain is just non-functional.
I mean, that might be the latest game I ever remember. From watching the Mavs. I can't remember a game. Maybe like a playoff game that went late.
Do the East Coast games. And like, that was even late for an East Coast start.
Yes.
It's one of the worst. Anyways. Yeah. So Mavericks lose this game. Let's start with the end first. Anthony Davis did something to his finger. The replays all show nothing. And everyone on the broadcast was like, ugh. And I'm like, well, what? Nothing fucking happened. Like, his finger's in his jersey. I don't understand what happened. The play they ran a whole other play. The Mavericks ran an offensive play after Anthony Davis hurt his finger.
Did they have it? I don't even know if they had any timeout. Did they have a timeout?
There's the ability to foul.
Yes, there is.
And they didn't do anything. And Davis is sitting there grabbing, holding his hand the whole time. And Lauri Markkanen scores over him. And then they stop the game.
Yeah, so I guess they did have a timeout. They did have a
timeout. I need to go look at the play-by-play from the fourth quarter to make sure I have like this exactly down pat, because I don't want somebody to come screaming at me about something that's like very easily.
He got hurt, and Lauri scored on him on the play. He got hurt. And then, the Mavericks ran a possession where he literally – he's like playing one-handed. Like, he's literally holding his hand.
And he hurts his hand
through the whole possession.
He hurts his hand at the 252 mark. They don't come out of the game until the 208 mark. So yeah,
they played an entire offensive possession, and then they played another defensive possession, which is kind of absurd, because it's not like he was shaking it off.
Right.
And like, he was out of the play. He was out of the play out on the offense play. And out of the play on defense. And I don't know how that doesn't, like, you got to stop the play.
You got to stop. Like Kid did some stuff this game that, let's just say, like, makes you do the Brian Windhorst shit where I'm just like, what?
Yeah.
So he comes out of the game at that point, and he then immediately runs to the locker room. And we got who is it? Andrew in the chat says, looks like a dislocated finger. If it's a dislocated finger, then he should have been calling out for the game immediately. If it's anything other than a break or a dislocated finger and he ran to the locker room, there's going to be commentary around that. You can't be going to the locker room for something like a jam finger.
Like, if it's just a jam finger, that's
I hope it's not.
Yeah,
because if it is, if it's something serious, that that changes a lot of things.
Yeah, changes a lot. And I know this is a post game podcast, but I like, his injury is a story. We are 4 weeks away from the trade deadline. If he is legitimately hurt, in the sense like he can't. If he is hurt enough that he can't come back before the trade deadline, and if it's like a broken hand or a broken finger or something, I don't know what the recovery time on this is. Maybe, maybe this is a short term, maybe he's only out a week, but like, this has long-term repercussions if he cannot return to court with enough time left before the trade deadline, because if the Mavericks are going to try to trade him and all these trade rumors, like, if that gets put on ice, like, it's just all bad. I mean, it's all bad, because even if they're not going to trade him, okay, well, you still want him healthy, because if you're not trading him, then you still believe in him being on the team. Like, it's just, there's no good way. Either he's hurt and they can't trade him, which is bad, or he's hurt and he's not playing, which is bad, because they need him. If they don't want to trade him, then he needs to play. Sure. And he can't stay on the court. And it's just, again, it's just one thing after another. He can't stay on the court. He just can't. It's unequivocal. Like, he had two pretty decent years in LA. We're now like, what, three years removed from, or 2 years removed. Like, we're getting far enough away that you can't just be like, oh yeah, but he played like 70 games in LA in 2023. And it's like, okay, it's 2026 now. Like, it doesn't matter. And he can't stay on the floor. And then it's not, the track record before those two relatively healthy seasons in LA was terrible. Like, he couldn't stay on the court either. So like, he's played like two healthy seasons out of his last like 10.
Oh, he's just not a healthy guy. You go look at the thing, and people argue with people who don't watch the game.
You're arguing the sky is green at this point. Like, it's just, you're arguing a reality that doesn't exist.
Well, and one thing that the game logs simply do not track, like your whether you played or not, don't take into account how many times over the course of a season he will leave a game with an injury, go to the locker room, and come back. We've not seen it a lot in the Mavericks uniform, but
he's made his locker room trips count in Dallas. Like, he's getting hurt for real.
There's a reason people would, like, the nickname in New Orleans was Day to Davis. Like, he just has this ability to get hurt in it. Like, he plays hard when he does play hard. Like, frankly, tonight, the last couple of games, his effort is kind of driving me crazy. But he is willing to play physical basketball, and that's going to result in bumps and bruises and injuries. Just that's just nature of the sport. But
I mean, some guys get hurt. Like, that's not,
he's just, he is a guy who gets hurt. I think that is the fairest like statement. And you know, it's just, you look, you're like, oh, he played 65, 70 games. Like, this is just not a guy who's healthy. You got to build that into your expectations for him. He proved it to us immediately upon arriving in Dallas, getting hurt immediately, probably playing too soon because our general manager at the time is adult. And then he came into camp heavy and he probably missed after Nico Harrison was fired. We will never know this, or we won't know it for several years, but I am pretty convinced that they did the Luka thing where they held him out for 2 extra weeks after his calf was fine and said, get your ass in shape until you can play. And he did, because he looks good. Like, he physically has looked great since returning from the calf injury.
Well, you know what helps prevent further soft tissue injuries is being in shape. Yeah, I mean, it's not good. And this is like the big thing. The big thing is like, it's not going to stop it because it's just not, but like, we got to stop with this. Like, when they're healthy, like, we haven't seen Cooper, Kyrie, AD, like, it's just, I don't want to engage with that talking point anymore. Cause again, it's like arguing that the sky is purple.
It's just the only comment I get. Like, Twitter people have actually stopped doing it to me because I think they know I'll yell at them. But I get, because I have to do this thing for Offsides, I am now on TikTok and Instagram. And the comments that I get from people where it's like, if they're healthy, it's like, what? This is where the 2Kification of basketball has driven me nuts. It's like, it's not a thing. They're not going to be healthy. I just don't understand this mindset. Like, it's okay. I'm not mad at the players for this. I am mad at that being your thought process.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
You, like, whoever is throwing it out in the world.
Prime's exclusive wildcard playoff game is Saturday night. Jordan Love and the Packers take on Caleb Williams and the Bears. Not a Prime member? Sign up for a 30-day free trial to stream the game.
That's going to be caught for the touchdown.
NFC North rivals square off in the latest chapter of the NFL's oldest feud. The Packers and Bears in Prime's exclusive wildcard playoff game. Saturday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern, only on Prime. Sign up for a 30-day free trial today. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
The new year brings new health goals and wealth goals. Protecting your identity is an important step. Your info is in endless places that could expose you to identity theft, leading to lost funds. LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second. If your identity is stolen, our restoration specialists will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Resolve to make identity health and wealth part of your new year's goals with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/podcast. Terms apply.
Very annoying.
I know. It makes it, you know, can't really, I mean, what do you even talk about? Because, like, the game was, like, that literally kind of lost from the game.
Well, let's take a quick break. And then let's actually talk about the game. Because I think the game up until then did have some interesting points that I want to discuss, and I think the fan base would like to hear from us about. If you guys would like to support the show, I've mentioned this early and often. You listen to the ads, very appreciative of those who do. You can tell your friends, grow the show bit by bit. And let's just be honest, nobody's listening right now outside of the hardcore fans. We're in kind of purgatory. We're not in hell. Hell is interesting. Purgatory is weird. The last way is you can give to us directly. And I just want to make note of the fact that there have been quite a few people who have done that in a way that I would not have possibly been able to predict. And it's very nice and makes Josh and I feel better about this. You know, sometimes this show is a little bit difficult for us to do with our lives. And when people do, even the gesture is very kind. And there's more people than I can really name, but I'm grateful for the people who have been doing that. We'll insert some ads and we'll be right back. All right. Thanks so much for waiting. If you want to hang around for group therapy, I'll be doing that show right after this one. It's very easy to join. Where should we start in this game? So Anthony Davis is obviously a big news point, but do you want to talk good things or bad things first about the game?
I mean, offensively, they played really well. I mean, this is kind of, it kind of followed the same script as the last couple of Jazz games they've played. I mean, their offense is, I mean, their defense kind of stinks, and their offense has been better, kind of flipping what they were the first, like, October and November, where their offense was historically awful and their defense was keeping them in. Now their defense has slid, but their offense has gotten better. So the games are still close, but now they're like a different, like, instead of like losing 102 to 98, they're losing, you know, 116, 114.
Yep.
I mean, the Jazz made more threes and lost. I mean, when they shot 52% from the floor, they shot 42% from three, and they lost. Like, that's that's a killer. And again, look at the turn. It's turnover. Like, they had 21 turnovers.
I'd be curious how, I wasn't keeping track. And the turnovers,
they gave up 25 points off the turnovers. Almost all of the, like, there were so many live ball turnovers. It was insane.
They, you know, Brandon Williams gets hurt. They did a lot less. You know, Ryan Nembhard only played 22 minutes, which is pretty inexcusable. They just need to play point guards. Like, this is where if you're a conspiracy theorist about what's happening with the team and the losing, like, they're giving you ammunition, because the turnovers that are happening are pretty maddening, and they're spread out. Like, look at this. Like, it's crazy. 21 turnovers where no player has more than three.
Yep. And, I mean, it was a lot. Like, Davis had a couple, Gafford had a couple. Man, Gafford doubled double the turnovers than he did points tonight. Two turnovers and 0 points, that was crazy. He didn't even get a field goal attempt or a free throw attempt.
I saw a friend of the show, Mavs Film Room, whoever, one of the three guys that runs that account, tweet something before the game about, the Mavericks have, like, and they showed the Jazz starting lineup, and it was, the Mavericks have no excuse not to win the battle of the boards. And Kevin Love is such a better rebounder than people remember, just because he's old. Like, watching that dude body people just a little bit here and there and create rebounding opportunities for his teammates is incredible. That's one of the things that is just very different about how Daniel Gafford rebounds. Gafford tries his ass off for stuff, but he never bodies anyone. He just kind of hustles to the ball. In some games, that's not enough. And this was one of those games where, you know, he's out there for 25 minutes and does nothing. I mean, nothing. 7 rebounds, and that's it. And somehow he was a zero on the plus minus despite not doing anything. That's kind of remarkable, actually.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the Mavericks are great. I mean, if they don't turn the ball over, they win. I mean, that's just pure and simple. When you give up 21 turnovers, they score 25 points off those turnovers. I mean, there were some sequences in the first half where it was just like turnover dunk, turnover layup, turnover alley-oop. Like, it was just like bang, bang, bang. Like,
they were really not,
they weren't even the kind of turnover, like, they had no chance. Like, they were no chance turnovers. What Rick Carlisle, you know, former Mavericks coach, would call the catastrophic, you know, turnovers. Like, I didn't chart how many of those specifically they were compared to the dead ball turnovers, but it felt like the majority of them were that.
What was the Jazz were at one point? At one point, they led by as many as 14 in the first half. Yeah. And that was because of that.
The turnovers, yes.
And the Mavericks were very lucky, because the Jazz did the same thing they did against Oklahoma City last night and just sort of forgot that the half wasn't over for the final 2 minutes of the first half, and the Mavericks made it a ball game. The Jazz were threatening to blow this game open repeatedly, and – you know,
and they didn't, because they're also a bad.
They're also a bad team. Right. but they, you know, the Mavericks were beneficiaries of a top notch Klay Thompson game, 23 points in 29
that
minutes,
hurts 6 of 11 to for lose. 3,
five assists, which is not really Klay's thing. Yeah, and
yeah, because they started running him off the line, and then he was making good passes when they were running him off the line.
And we've, really we've I feel like we've talked about this since early October. Like, you just can't lose the Klay Thompson games because he's the one who is. It's funny, we spend so much time talking about Anthony Davis and trading Anthony Davis. It's like, if we want this, if there's somebody that wants this team to tank, you've said it best repeatedly. Klay Thompson, if he goes away, this offense doesn't work at all. It already doesn't really work, but he's kind of the one that can make things interesting from time to time because there's at least some space.
Yeah, like imagine if they didn't have him tonight and replace him with just generic, you know, more Caleb Martin minutes or Jaden Hardy minutes or something. Like, they would have lost this game by like 25 points.
God, I mean, the Mavericks really did shoot the hell out of the ball.
They did. They did. And they're like, they scored in the paint. I mean, they only had 46 points in the paint, which is lower than their average, but I think they shot really well on twos. Hold on. I want to look it up now.
Sure.
They shot really well in the paint. They were 10 of 13 in the restricted area. They were 13 of 23 in the paint outside of it. This was like, obviously, besides Gafford, like, I was watching this game and I'm kind of scattered. I know we're all over the place. My main thought watching this game before Davis got hurt was, I'll just watch this. Like, how is every opposing contending GM not if they're watching these games or they've got scouts telling them, like, how are you not calling the Mavericks every day for like Klay or Najee and Gafford, although this was a bad Gafford game, but like, imagine Najee Marshall with like coming off the bench for the Timberwolves, or Klay coming off the bench for the Pistons, or even Gafford like plugging the Celtics center rotation or the Raptors center rotation for that matter. Imagine Klay coming off the bench for the Magic, who still need as much shooting. Like, the Mavericks are the deepest bad team I think I can ever remember, where they roll out, like, they lost this game, but like their bench killed it tonight, you know, between Klay and Nimhard, and then there are some bench units that Najee led. Like, Najee was 7 of 11 from the floor again, scoring the paint at will. I'm just like, if I were a team, I would give a late, like, if I'm a, like, Detroit, like, is the 29th pick in this draft, like, I'll give that up to get Klay to maybe go to the finals.
Yep.
You know, if I'm the Timberwolves, something similar to that. Like, I don't know. If I was like, that's why this team is so weird. They have way too many good players to be as bad as they are, but it's just because they don't fit together. Right. Like, on paper, it looks great, but mixed together and with all the injuries, it just hasn't worked out. But if I was an opposing GM, I would be calling the Mavericks every day and be like, what do you want for Najee? What do you want for Klay? And I don't know if the Mavericks feel the same way. We'll see. These deals don't get done until the deadline actually gets here. But I was just watching the game and I just kept thinking that over and over. I was like, does Klay really want to spend one of his last years on a team like this?
Yeah.
It's not fair to Klay. And like, Najee, like, that dude is due for another contract soon. He's been balling out. Like, I mean, do the Mavericks want
to? Like, the Mavericks can't afford him. Like, they're not paying him, or like, you know, whatever raise he's probably earned.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100+ meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Well, yeah. So I want to talk about two things that I think are related. So I went on Slightly Biased's show today, and he pulled up some numbers that I like knew in my heart, but not in my head, talking about Cooper Flagg's, just some of the things he's able to do or isn't able to do when he's sharing the floor with Anthony Davis. I don't remember the specifics, but it was like what you're seeing with Flagg, you know, out of the pick and roll, like how Flagg is simply never used as the screener. And we talked about how Flagg's in the corner a lot, and just how Davis just tends to suck a lot of the oxygen out of the room when Cooper's on the floor. Stuff we talked about, but it was good because he backed it up with some numbers. And I was really sort of watching elements of that tonight in ways that I hadn't. I probably overemphasized this tonight. But like, Flagg once again has an outstanding game. He plays
incredible.
38 minutes, 26 points, 10 rebounds, 8 assists, 2 shy of a triple-double, 3 turnovers, 3 steals, and a block. I mean, the man was everywhere. He was outstanding. But the thing that, of course, drives you crazy is he has 10 points in the first quarter. He has 10 points, and then Kidd pulls him for about half the quarter to let Anthony Davis do whatever Anthony Davis does. I get that's part of the rotation, but it still pisses me the fuck off. And he only had 5 shots in the quarter. And for the entire game, Flagg ends up with 18 field goals in 38 minutes. It's not a small number. I'm not going to sit here and act like it's not. But a few of these like field goals are layups, and then he puts in his own miss kind of thing, where it's like that's 2 field goal attempts. He goes long stretches without touching the ball. And it is painful how often he drives and then will like reverse pivot and look to do something with it. And Anthony Davis is standing there like 2 feet away, like a kid in a youth rec league game wanting ball, ball, ball. And it's like the spacing with Davis sometimes is so gross. And the two of them don't do enough together. I don't understand why. Like, what is going on there? Am I just missing something?
I don't think you're missing something. I mean, they went back to the double big lineup. So, like...
triple big. It's like 3 bigs, basically.
Yeah. So, like, he's not setting screens because... is he going to set screens with Gafford and Dan Davis on the floor at the same time? So that takes away part of it. I feel like there's less Davis screening for Cooper, which I feel like there was more of that, like, a month ago. I feel like they're kind of getting away from that as time has gone on. Of course, I could be wrong. You know, I'm not looking at the numbers. This is purely eye test and vibes. Mm-hmm. I would love to see they're not running any inverted pick and rolls with AD. Mm-hmm. They're just not doing it. Like, I would love to see Cooper, you know, when Gafford hits the bench and Davis is playing the five, like, let Cooper screen for AD.
Why not do that? Like, AD is a good passer. Cooper is excellent in space and just caught like that. Just it's like, why didn't they run the Kyrie Luka stuff more? And it's like the Mavericks aren't a playoff team. Just spam stuff that works.
Yeah. And with the Cooper Kyrie thing, there's part of it where it's like, okay, you know, it's hard to get your stars to do because it's a, you know, setting screens is not fun. That's a dirty work thing.
But Cooper Flag has a problem with
right. That's what I'm saying. Like, you could kind of get it with Luka and Kyrie. Like, do you really want those guys setting screens? Like, yada yada yada. They're veterans. Like Cooper, Cooper would probably love to set screens and roll and pass and do all that crap right now. Like, he seems like a guy that would relish in doing the dirty work. So yeah, I don't know. They enter tonight. Davis and Flag have played, and this was entering tonight, they played 928 possessions together. The Mavericks net rating is -4.4. So not great. There are a couple of lineups that are doing really well. They both have PJ Washington in them and Davis playing at the five, which is not super shocking.
Right.
Because PJ Washington is good. But yeah, there's something off, and the double big, going back to double big, like they're just starting games off. Like, even if they would have won this game, you know, they were down double digits to both Sacramento and Utah in these last two games. They managed to come back and win that Sacramento game because Sacramento is an abomination to the sport. But like, it's hard to be good if you're down 14 points every second quarter. And I can't help but like these Gafford AD Cooper lineups that they're starting now is just like, you're just, again, you're playing with one arm tied behind your back. It's cool if you could pull it off, make it close or win. But like, what if you could start the game better?
Well, it's a real energy thing, too, because Kidd, you know, he's more or less decided. We talked about this last game. He's more or less decided he's not playing Dwight Powell, D'Angelo Russell, Jaden Hardy, unless he absolutely has to. And you could argue tonight he needed Russell and he just didn't play him. So it's like, if you're going to keep doing these things, you're just putting your team at an energy deficit over the course of the game and over the course of the season, frankly, because the Mavs are just never ahead. They're just never ahead in a meaningful fashion. I mean, what is their point differential? I've not looked at this in a while because I try not to stare
their at the per same. Their per game differential is -3.8.
Right.
So they lose by an average of about 4 points a game.
Right, which is it's funny that actually matches up perfectly with their place in the West. In it's like 12th worst in the West, and they are 12th in the West. That's actually very funny. just it's just, all the fans in the chat are like, oh, this is the Mavs tanking. I'm like, guys, when AD plays, the Mavs win. Like, they win like at about 50%. Now, is that good enough for the playoffs? Not if you're only playing 55 games with them, because you lose the other ones.
Yeah, I think they're 10 and I think after tonight they're 10 and 10 in games Davis plays.
Yep.
This season.
Yep.
If you don't count, I don't think that counts that Indiana game where he got hurt really early. Yeah, I just looked it up. So the Davis, Gafford, Cooper, I guess that's the starting lineup. Davis, Gafford, Najee, Christie, Flagg. It's played 15 minutes. It's a minus one in 15 minutes. And then you take Gafford off, and it's Davis, Najee, Christie, Flagg, Nimhard. That's played 15 minutes. It's plus four. This isn't per possession. It's just pure. They've outscored teams by four in those 15 minutes. And again, it's 15 minutes. Like, it's nothing. But your biggest lineup being a minus one over the last few games, like, that's just, you're just in a hole.
Yes.
That's just not, it's just hard to do. It's just hard to get back from.
Just hard to do. Starting to describe being a mid-season Dallas Mavericks podcaster and content creator. we're kind of at stop time. The Mavs play again on Saturday night. They're at this, really, for what I want out of life, they're really at this sort of lovely pace where they just don't play a ton of games. I mean, they obviously play like every other night all January, which I can handle 14 games in a month, 15 games in a month. I can't handle 18 games in a month. And I know it doesn't matter to people who kind of check in and out on this, but it's the Mavs played a ton of basketball before the NBA Cup, and they're still just ahead of teams in terms of number of games played. So it at a certain point that levels itself back out. But you go look at the schedule here, and the guys play, who do we got here? They play Chicago, which, oddly enough, they had an entire game delayed today. Did you see that?
Yeah, because of the condensation on the court.
Yeah, shout out to hockey for screwing. I wonder even how they fixed that. That's just because it looked like they were trying to figure out what to do, and then they just had to call the game. I don't remember the last time something like that has happened. But that's Saturday, 7 p.m. Then they play Brooklyn. Like, they don't get two consecutive. You know, I misread the schedule. They have a back-to-back next week, Denver, Utah. That's fine. We can deal with that. You look at that. That Denver-Utah game is part of their final longest remaining home stretch of the regular season. They play four straight games at home. Brooklyn, Denver, Utah. And, then it's a whole just like the – it's just, I had put – and you talked about this, and you actually reminded me. I tweeted this because you said it, because it just chalked something up in my head. This Utah-Chicago-Brooklyn-Denver-Utah-Utah stretch, six games, is if the Mavericks were to attempt to make a run – on the 10th spot, if they really want to be competitive in that area, this was going to be the time to make up ground, because then their schedule in January to All-Star break, I don't know if they play a single team with a losing record. In fact, I'm pretty sure they don't. After the they played Knicks, Golden State, this is rough. They play Charlotte in there. Maybe Charlotte sucks. All right, you got anything else before we go?
I think we're
pretty good for 30 minutes. Okay, yeah. we will see you guys later. If there's like any breaking news or something, maybe we'll go live, but you know, probably not. Hang around here if you guys want to join Mavs Party. I'm going to go switch that over, and it's really easy to join if you're interested. Josh, you go schedule.
Also edit.
Yep. Go to bed before midnight. Sounds nice.
Wow, what a dream.
All right, talk soon. Go Mavs.